It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 24, Acts chapter 1, verse 24, and then get into the second chapter as well. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-440-4402. If you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies up there. Please that you would look and enjoy them and come to know the Lord Jesus through those studies. Our plan of salvation is presented there, as well as our Constitution, as well as many, many studies for you to enjoy. I hope that you would take a look at that. And if you would like to, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. Let's prepare for the study, and let's get God's precious word before us and enjoy the reading. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that we may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas the by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. The lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered with one accord in one place. And we're going to end right there because we've got a lot of scriptures to look up this morning. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to enjoy this time and to come together and study your precious word. The book of Acts is a wonderful book. Father, thank you for giving it to us. Help us to fully understand it, just step by step, day by day, minute by minute, as we study this precious word. So please guide and lead us. Father, those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that maybe have always been in church, always been religious, please, Lord, that you will show them the way of salvation today, that they need to realize that they're a sinner, realize that their heart needs to be convicted of their sin. And only your Spirit can do that, and that's what we're really studying today and beginning to study here in the second chapter of Acts. So, Father, please just guide and lead us through this study and grow us. Bring us to you as there and introduce to us your, as a Savior that we need, and then the God that we need to serve and enjoy and appreciate. And thank you, Father, for the peace and joy you give us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture here, they kind of set out, realized that they thought they needed to fill the position of Judas. There is no place in the Word of God where God has told them to do that. They kind of took it upon themselves. They believe that the kingdom is coming, and so the Lord Jesus is going to be here and rule and reign for the 1,000 years, that the millennial reign of Christ had started, that the kingdom itself would be right there on earth. That's what they were preparing for. And they felt that the 12 of the apostles would be in a certain position of power. And so as the democratic way, they chose two men. And so they chose the two men. We kind of closed with this last time. They chose the two men, and then they gave those two men to God and says, okay, God, which one's the best? And so, yes, I'm sure both of these men met with the qualifications of the other apostles. However, it was not God's plan. We hear nothing of this man after the fact. And so And we need to understand that, Judas, when he failed, he did not fall from salvation. He fell from the position that he held with the apostles. Can you imagine, a man walking with God himself, the Son of God, watching all the miracles and the perfect life that Jesus lived, and yet never believing in him? I think Judas believed and saw what he saw, but he never dealt with a problem, and that's the problem of many today. And that is, we don't deal with our sin. We look right on to the Lord Jesus, and yes, he was a good man, and yes, I believe he's God, and yes, I think he died on the cross. But until you take that opportunity to look at your sin and realizing that's what Jesus died for, and I need to accept the responsibility of my sin. And once you do that, that is when you invite Jesus to come into your heart to save you. And so please that you don't miss that time and don't miss that opportunity. And so they chose two men, and Judas, we know, is Satan, was the devil, was a son of perdition, the Scripture tells us, the son of Satan. And so as we look at all these verses of Scripture, let's go just back to John, the Gospel of John, very quickly here. Not very far away. Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 67. John chapter 6, verse 67. And it says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And so when we look at these scriptures here, Have I not chosen the 12? All have the opportunity of salvation. And yes, they were chosen for this position. But every individual has the sole responsibility to accept their sin. Realize you are condemned. Judas need to realize he was condemned already. I must have the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Judas never did that. The other 11 did. And so we have that here. Again, it's a son of perdition, son of Satan. So the means of accomplishing this replacement now, we've kind of dealt with Judas enough. Let's go on to the replacement here. And so the casting of lots was a Jewish way of seeking God's direction. It wasn't the high priest held the Urim and the Thummim, and God used that. But now it has just become something that helped them think that God was leading them. God was not leading them. It should not be used today. It shouldn't have been used at this time here. Let's go to James. Got a couple of verses of Scripture here. Hebrews, James, James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You need to look to the perfect law of liberty, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who we look to. We don't look for a make these decisions. One more verse of scripture here we have. And we have the complete Word of God. And that's, we don't need any kind of witchcraft or Ouija board or any of that nonsense, because that's what it is. It's devil stuff. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So many of these things, and this includes the having some special power that God would give a certain individual to lay on of hands for healing. God can heal anybody anytime he chooses to. But it's not a special gift, as the tongues, as the all these things were things that were very important in the early church. But once the Word of God was complete, that was no longer, and we have the complete Word of God. Now, this was in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, is where I read that verse of Scripture. Now, the Scripture tells us that it fell on Matthias. History tells us that this was usual way to determine this, and instead of having a little pouch like the high priest had, they would take an earthen jar, and they would put the names in the earthen jar, and then they would stir them up, and kind of like a lottery type thing, and then they would pull out the name, and then that was the one that God chose. There is nothing in the Word of God that tells us that that this is to be done. And it sure wasn't God's will that this man be the 12th man, because we know that the 12th man has already been chosen, even though he's not saved yet. He is coming. God knows who he is, and that's the Apostle Paul will be the 12th. So what man has done, again, is to move ahead of God's plan and his pleasure. And so we need to see that we do not do that. We come now to verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. This time is fixed by celebrating Pentecost is the 50 days from the day after the Sabbath of the Passover. And you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 11, and verses 15 and 16 of that chapter. Again, this day is already fixed. 50 days from the day after the Sabbath of the Passover. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9, 7 full weeks after the sickle was put to the corn. So it's kind of the end of the harvest. This is the second of three great annual feasts. Now, maybe you're very familiar with this, and maybe not, but I think it's very important for us to understand. There is the Feast of the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, these were all given, as was the Ten Commandments, as was the plans to the tabernacle. This was all given to Moses up on Mount Sinai. You ask most folks, and you may agree with this, that when you ask a question, what did Moses receive on Mount Sinai? And he'll say the Ten Commandments, or you'll say the law. And when you would respond to that and say, do you realize he got the plans to the tabernacle? And they said, no, I didn't realize that. The plans of the tabernacle, the law, he received. The law condemns. The law kills. The tabernacle, because it's a perfect picture, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, means salvation. So we have both sides here. We have the means of salvation, and we have the condemning of the law. Moses received both of those, as well as he received these feasts that we have here. Again, the feast of the Passover, of Pentecost, of the Passover, the unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacle. Now, this is not just feasts and things that they were required to do. Out of those three, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, any one that was classed as an adult male was to return to Jerusalem to the temple for this feast, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. Now, the Passover and unleavened bread continued at the same time. It was something that occurred simultaneously. From the time that the Passover would start and the time that unleavened bread would begin was together. The purpose of the unleavened bread shows that leaven stands in the Word of God for sin. So unleavened bread means that they would take and remove. They would remove the leaven. And we are to remove the sin out of our life. Of course, we cannot do that. We cannot do that ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross can. So you see, we start with the Passover. The Passover, the offering of the sacrificial lamb. Passover was the only feast or only celebration that they possessed, they had before they left Egypt. Because they were given the instructions for Passover when the last plague came to the death of the firstborn in Egypt. They were given this at that time. And as I hope you know, as they would take the lamb, they would kill the lamb, not one bone to be broken. They would take the blood, and they would apply the blood upon the doorpost and upon the lintel. Now, that is what the original Passover, and the original one, why they were to girt themselves, because immediately following this meal, they left Egypt. But as we look at this, and we see the need of the Passover here, and we look at that, it's a beautiful picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood, and the blood has been applied. In other words, that blood of our Lord and Savior has been taken and presented to God the Father at the throne of God. It has been applied, and that's the only reason we have salvation. It's because of the Lord Jesus. And so, the first and one of the great important one is this feast of Passover. It pictures Calvary, the death, burial, of the Lord Jesus. Now, you notice I just said the death and burial of the Lord Jesus. The unleavened bread allows us, after we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then that allows us to be sinless. Now, yes, I'm still in the flesh, and I do still sin, but not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, the only thing he sees is his precious son's blood over me. My sins are taken away. My sins are gone. And so we begin, after Calvary, this precious, wonderful walk after we've been redeemed. So you need to trust in that. You need to understand that. The next event is the Feast of First Fruits. Now, that's when the harvest begins, and that pictures the resurrection. That pictures the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Next, following that, is the day of Pentecost. That's where we're at here in chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. That is when the coming of the Holy Spirit comes down and comes into the heart of every true believer, everyone that has faced their sin and accepted the Lord Jesus. It's the birth of the church. Now let's back up just a little bit here again to look to see Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. The time that was fixed by celebrating Pentecost is 50 days from the day after the Sabbath day of the Passover. Now, also, as we look at the at this again, it is the, as Deuteronomy tells us, 16:9, 7 full weeks after the sickle was put to the corn. So it's actually 7 weeks and one day, 50 days, Feast of Weeks, it's called. And so, but that is the birth of the church. The next is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. That is the rapture of the church. It's two things. The Feast of Trumpets. The Word of God tells us that the trump's going to sound. And those in Christ Jesus will be taken up and meet the Lord in the air. At that same event, and we usually talk about this as the rapture of the church, but is also at this time then a calling forth of the nation of Israel to come back home. Now, they're already doing that right now. But that's the purpose here of the calling them to return back home. So it's two things. The church leaves. All born-again believers go home to be with the Lord. I believe that's when the Old Testament saints are taken from paradise and taken home. I believe that time is very soon to now, because everything in the Word of God has been fulfilled. There is nothing left. We have faced the Passover, the unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the next event on the calendar, on God's calendar, and Pentecost. The next event on God's calendar is the Feast of Trumpets. You see, God doesn't do something. It's the reason you need to study the Old Testament, because it's a beautiful picture of God's calendar. The Feast of Trumpets, the rapture of the church, the calling together of the nation of Israel. The sixth is the Day of Atonement. That's when he's going to return and plant his feet. Plant his feet upon Mount Sinai. It's going to be divided. Not Mount Sinai, I'm sorry. It's going to be before Jerusalem. And he's going to plant his feet. And the mount is going to split in two. And the waters are going to flow. And it's one of the finest and richest lands in all the world. So please understand the importance. And we're a far cry from Mount Sinai. That'll be his second coming. Now, the rapture of the church is not a second coming. He does not come and plant his feet upon this earth. But he will. And then comes the last and final one, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the millennial reign of Christ. He tabernacles with us for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be another judgment, because all those who are born during that time need as well to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And then they say yes to Jesus, hopefully, prayerfully. If they don't, they're going to face the wrath of God, and they'll be destroyed. Not annihilated, because as the believer enjoys a glorified body, the lost, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus, will have their old body, the one that hurts and aches right now. They'll have that for eternity in the lake of fire. So understand the beautiful calendar that God has given us. Passover's Calvary, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The unleavened bread is what happens at Calvary. And those two events take place at the same time. The Feast of First Fruits is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the beginning of harvest. Pentecost is the end of harvest. And that is when the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we enjoy the wonderful day of the church. Now that's something the Old Testament doesn't see, because it's dealing with the nation of Israel. And for 2,000 years now, the nation of Israel has been set aside. But when that trumpet sounds, two things are going to happen. The church will end. We'll go home to be with the Lord. But those that do not know the Lord Jesus, and particularly the nation of Israel, will be called together back home. And then the next step is the end of that tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. It'll be the return of the Lord Jesus, and he'll plant his feet here. Destroy the evil. Those that are saved will enter into the millennial reign of Christ. That's the seventh, the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at that beautiful calendar. God doesn't keep us in the dark. He gives us light. He gives us all these wonderful things to see and to understand. And so please don't miss the opportunity of studying the Old Testament and seeing the calendar of events. All these things the nation of Israel were given at Mount Sinai. They were given the whole calendar of events. They were given everything. And they were given such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the tabernacle, in the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the table of showbread, the candlestick, the incense altar, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat. Everything is such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the life of the believer. It all comes in a beautiful package there for us to see and understand. And so we're just about to see the birth of the church here. The day of Pentecost is when this takes place. So you kind of have an idea of what's going on here. And you'll see when we come. Next time we come together, we're going to begin with this second chapter. Got several verses of scripture to read. before we even begin, because it's so important that you understand what's taking place. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?